ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमः। ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नाम्ने। नमस्ते सारस्वतदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरून् दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरम्। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी श्रीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो बिफोर आई रिसाइट आई सीक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द डिवोटीज डिसिपल्स एंड अदर डिवोटीज असेंबल्ड एज वेल एज अनअसेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। सो टुडे वी आर reciting from 10th canto, 1st chapter, shloka 12 and 13. So we will recite 13. 13 is on the board. Naishati duhussaha shunma Tyaktodam api badhate पिबन्तं त्वन्मा मुखाम्भोज च्युतं हरिकथामृतम्। सो बिफोर वी टेक वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग वी गो टू द प्रीवियस श्लोका 12th श्लोका ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ द 12th श्लोका बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ ग्रेट सेज हू नो एवरीथिंग अबाउट कृष्णा प्लीज डिस्क्राइब इन डिटेल ऑल द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ विच आई हैव इंक्वायर्ड एंड ऑल्सो दोज ऑफ विच आई हैव नॉट for I have full faith and I am very eager to hear of them. This is spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukdev Goswami and he is wanting to hear more and more about Krishna. So this is the shloka and the 13th shloka, word for word meaning, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat after me word for word. Na,
na.
Not,
na.
Esha,
Esha,
all this,
all
Ati Duhsaha, extremely difficult to bear. Shut, hunger. Maam, unto me. Tyakta udam, even after giving up drinking water. Api, also. Badhate, does not hinder. Pibantam, while drinking. Tvat mukh ambhoja chitam. Tvat mukh Ambhoja Chitam, emanating from your lotus mouth. Hari Kathamrutam, the nectar of topics concerning Krishna. Translation, because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet, because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, My hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. So before we start reading purport, I want to just give a summary of what we are going to discuss, because it's very important to focus on what Prabhupada is saying. There are three paragraphs in this purport. The first paragraph actually directly relates with the translation. It's in one way the completion of the translation. Prabhupada does it many times. Sometimes he doesn't do, here it's not exactly completion of translation. Here he is giving bhavarth. He is giving the mood. He is understanding Parikshit Maharaj's mood in saying what he has said in this shloka. And he is giving the internal meaning of what Parikshit Maharaj means to say. But it's in one way, it's completion of the translation also, because what he hasn't said, it's in between the lines, reading in between the lines. That's Prabhupada is doing. And this is the difference between Bhagavad Gita. While I was reading, I wanted to express this. This is the difference between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is also poem. Bhagavatam is also poetry. Both are poetry. But in Bhagavad Gita, the poem is said in such a way that you don't need any bhavarth actually. And Prabhupada says this. I'm not just whimsically saying this. Prabhupada says this in one conversation. One new person came to Prabhupada and he said, Swamiji, you are saying you have written Bhagavad Gita as it is. How do you say you have written Bhagavad Gita as it is? Just like everyone is doing, they are giving their tika or their purport, their interpretation on Bhagavad Gita. You have done the same thing. So Prabhupada amazingly said this, and that gave me understanding of what had been a very long standing question about how to call it Bhagavad Gita as it is, because there are purports here also and people ask this. In that conversation Prabhupada says, actually, closer, okay. Prabhupada says, actually I haven't given any understanding or interpretation. You remove all purports, don't read my purports, just read the translation. Krishna has expressed his opinion in Bhagavad Gita so clearly that nobody has to write anything. And then Prabhupada explains what he has given in purports. He says, in purports I have only given the synopsis of the connection of what Krishna has spoken in previous shlokas. That's all. And we minutely study Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada's purports in Bhagavad Gita are much simpler than Bhagavatam. There is no mention of China-India war or things like that, or what is happening with ISKCON in Bombay. Those are there in Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam, so why that is so? Because Bhagavad Gita is a conversation between guru and disciple. And guru's duty, because disciple is a neophyte and Arjun was acting as a neophyte disciple, though he was an elevated devotee, but he was acting as a neophyte disciple. So it's guru's duty to give him direct instructions. No interpretation required. And that's what Prabhupada says many times. Why people are interpreting that this is not Krishna, something within Krishna whom we have to meditate on. And then Prabhupada gives an example that if your father has told you, go, this is 10 rupees, go to the market and get milk, whatever quantity of milk. So you have to just go there and get milk. Don't think, I'll give milk only. I'll give gulab jamun to father. No, don't interpret. So that's the difference between Bhagavad Gita and what is Bhagavatam. That's Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavatam is loving expression of loving devotees toward Krishna. And in love, loving poetry, whether you take English, Hindi, even mundane poetry, everything is not mentioned in love. Some things are to be understood. That's feeling. And similarly in Bhagavatam, many places, things are not very clear. Acharyas have to give that bhavarth. And that's what, in Hindi, it's bhavarth. The mood behind what is being spoken. So here also the first, we'll discuss about the first one. First paragraph of the purport tells about Parikshit Maharaj's mood. And in that we'll discuss about how to understand this mood of Parikshit Maharaj. Because he is expressing himself as a very lowly fallen soul. So how actually to understand? There are some misinterpretations, misunderstandings about Parikshit Maharaj, especially in India, those who are giving Bhagavat Saptaha, speech on Bhagavatam outside ISKCON. So we'll clarify that, because many times we get influenced by those misunderstandings about Parikshit Maharaj And then if we misunderstand Parikshit Maharaj and offend Parikshit Maharaj, we cannot get into the precincts of the real secretive understandings of Bhagavata. So that's why the first paragraph we'll discuss. Then the second paragraph we'll be discussing on that, about what is the rasa in Bhagavatam. Where Prabhupada is saying mundane rasa and Bhagavatam rasa. Spiritual food and mundane food. What is the difference? And how ecstatic is mundane food, which is Harikatha. And the last part is the third paragraph, whom to hear from. Who is the right candidate? And fourth part, I'll be adding, if time permits. Let's see, Krishna is time, so how much he'll allow. The fourth part is, if we actually absorb ourselves in Bhagavatam and follow the instructions of the great acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada, what benefit we are going to get? In essence, by surrendering, the fourth part will be, by surrendering to Krishna, we are not the loser. Neither in the mundane sense, material sense, nor in the spiritual sense. That will be the fourth part, probably Krishna will allow. So, I'll read the translation again and then the purport. One paragraph I'll read, then we'll discuss, then second paragraph, then third. So, first translation. Because of my vow, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet, because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Purport. To prepare to meet death in 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit gave up all food and drink. As a human being, he was certainly both hungry and thirsty, and therefore Shukdeva Goswami might have wanted to stop narrating the transcendental topics of Krishna. But despite his fast, Maharaj Parikshit was not at all fatigued. Now, under quotation, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, the hunger and thirst from my fast do not disturb me, he said. Once when I felt very thirsty, I went to the ashram of Shamit Muni to drink water, but the Muni did not supply it. I therefore grabbed a dead snake over his shoulder, and that is why I was cursed by the Brahman boy. Now, however, I am quite fit. I am not at all disturbed by my hunger and thirst. This indicates that although on the material platform there are disturbances from hunger and thirst, on the spiritual platform there is no such thing as fatigue. So this ends the first paragraph. This is very, very important, what Parikshit Maharaj has said and what Prabhupada has said. And we'll relate, first we'll think about what Prabhupada has said. Prabhupada is saying, in essence, that Parikshit Maharaj is saying, before meeting Shukdeva Goswami or hearing Harikatha Amritam from Shukdeva Goswami's lotus mouth, Parikshit Maharaj was on a material platform. This is what Parikshit Maharaj is saying. If I'm wrong, you can in between correct me. And now, when I'm hearing from you, Shukdeva Goswami, because of your qualification of Shukdeva Goswami, not mine, I've been raised to the spiritual platform or the platform of the soul. And this is very, very important. From here, if we take that Parikshit Maharaj is actually a fallen soul, we are fallen. For many reasons, we'll discuss that. First of all, we'll relate it with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Amara Jivana Sada Pape Rata Nahi Ka Punya Ralesh. And then he keeps on crying, lamenting that I am so fallen. I have krodh, kama, krodh, do, moh, madmatsa. I am infested with these things. I am an apradhi. I am infested with apradhas towards the great acharyas. All these many songs Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. But what Prabhupada has explained about that in those places is that we should not take Bhaktivinoda Thakur very seriously, in the sense that he is saying for himself and he is fallen. We should understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur taking his own example, giving us instruction. If he directly says to us, then we'll leave his con. We won't read his books. He's too critical about us. So that's why, to make it mellow it down, Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses it as if he is fallen. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj is expressing it, and I'll justify it. But Prabhupada, in the first canto, 18th chapter, the whole chapter is worth reading and rereading and reading. Amazing purports. In the first, but we'll take a few shlokas only. First canto, 18th chapter, the chapter entitled Parikshit Maharaj cursed by the Brahman boy, fifth shloka. In that fifth shloka, the shloka itself says that Parikshit Maharaj, the great son of the great Abhimanyu, was so powerful that till he was ruling, there was no chance for Kali Raj to flourish or to make his influence known to the public. He was so powerful. And we can relate it what happened before. Before that, when Kali Raj, personification of Kali, he was beating the bull, personified, Dharma personified in the form of bull, he was beating him. Parikshit Maharaj just stood there and he was angry, extremely angry. Just seeing his extremely angry face, Kali Raj started shivering and he could not do anything and started begging pardon from Parikshit Maharaj. And he asked him to give him a few places, in which one of the places was, now here is the misinterpretation by the Bhagavad Saptakars or the Mayavadis. And Prabhupada condemns this many times. Here comes the misinterpretation. He gave him five places. Four places we know, four regulative principles wherever they are broken. And the fifth place, then Kali Raj said, come on, Parikshit Maharaj, till you are ruling, these four places, the dens of breaking four regulative principles cannot exist on earth. Give me another place, one more place, just one more place. And note that point. This is before 18th chapter in the first canto. I think 16th or 15th chapter somewhere. Parikshit Maharaj tells him that you can stay where illegal gold is stored. A very important thing. What is illegal and what is legal? It's not what government stamps it. If government stamps this is legal and the government is useless, like Kaliyuga governments, they are themselves breaking four regular principles, then whatever gold is there as a property of the government is illegal from the point of view of Krishna. Because Bhagavatam gives the vision of Krishna. So from the vision of Krishna, whatever gold Parikshit Maharaj had, even if it was stolen, he was such an exalted devotee that everything was being used for Krishna. That's why it was legal. But Bhagavad Saptakars or Mayavadis say, because Kali Raj got the opportunity, this benediction from Parikshit Maharaj, Kali Raj went into the helmet of Parikshit Maharaj, which was golden, and then entered into his brain, and that made him offend Shamik Muni. And this is a great offense, the greatest offense on earth. One cannot enter Bhakti Yoga. One can become a powerful orator. One can remember 18,000 shlokas of Bhagavatam. Nothing, it's useless. He won't go back home, back to Godhead. Not at all. Krishna won't be happy. So here, in the 18th chapter, first canto, fifth shloka says what I've already said. Then we come to the 29 to 32 shloka. And 29th and 30th shloka, the purports if you read, where Brahman boy starts cursing. Brahman boy curses Parikshit Maharaj that this person is so envious of the Brahmanas, he has no right to be the king. And many, many things he says. Then he says, these Kshatriyas are only watchdogs of Brahmanas, but they are sitting on our head now. Before that, the 29th and 30th shloka is very interesting, the purports where he gives curse. The purports, Prabhupada says, that this was all ordained by Krishna. And 31st shloka, Prabhupada quotes Srila Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, saying that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami both confirm this point, that it was all organized by Krishna in Parikshit Maharaj's life, so that, not that he was fallen, so that this cursing will immediately detach him. And supporting this, towards the end of the same chapter, in one of the shloka, where Shamik Muni actually criticizes his son, Sringi, who cursed, Prabhupada says in that purport that Parikshit, in the king, I got distracted by some movement. Anyways, so I'll come back to that. In the 29th and 30th and 31st shloka, Prabhupada says, it's the duty of a king to see to it that the Brahmanas or the other sects, the Kshatriyas below that king and the Vaishyas and Shudras, they are following the proper duties of their, or occupational duties of their ashram or their world. And therefore, it was not wrong on Parikshit Maharaj that he checked. Prabhupada says, he only put a dead snake. He did not put a live snake on him. And it was only to check that whether this the sage was feigning meditation or he was actually meditating. And Prabhupada justifies that point, saying that Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually says that this is right. Then 32 and 33rd shloka purports, Prabhupada says, just think, Parikshit Maharaj is such a powerful king that in his kingdom a small boy was so powerful that he could curse. But later on, in that same chapter, 18th chapter, Prabhupada says that, but he was lacking culture. Though he was very powerful in his Brahminical qualification, but he was lacking culture. Culture means, Prabhupada explains, what is Varnashram. In Varnashram, Brahman should, and Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra should know how to cooperate with each other. What are their duties toward each other? There should be loving relationship between them. And in the 32nd or 33rd shloka purport, Prabhupada says that this was the Sringi's cursing was the beginning of the fall down of Brahminical culture. And the first victim of Brahminical injustice was Parikshit Maharaj. So this is very, very important to understand all these, from all these angles, that first of all, Parikshit Maharaj, just like Arjun, was acting as if he is neophyte. Parikshit Maharaj here is only expressing. And actually he is not neophyte at all. In this same shloka, which we have taken on the board, Naishati duhusaha shunmam. How can it happen suddenly? Have we seen in any of the Bhagavad Saptas in 7 days, some audience after hearing from seven days of hearing, they come to that level that they don't feel Naishati duhusaha shunmam tyaktodam api badhate, that I'm not feeling any hunger and thirst? This is in the beginning of the discourse also he felt. And people don't feel it even after hearing for 7 days. And at least me, after practicing for 20 years, in the proper parampara system, I have not started feeling that. I'm still feeling thirsty. Sorry. I'll just drink some water. So this is the first misunderstanding which I wanted to discuss on. Before moving ahead, anybody has any corrections on that? No addition, no comment, but corrections? Okay, I'll move ahead. Now the second purport, second paragraph of the purport. The entire world is suffering. Very interesting purport. Prabhupada is crying for all of us, or for the entire world. The entire world is suffering because of spiritual thirst. Every living being is Brahman or spirit soul and needs spiritual food to satisfy his hunger and thirst. Unfortunately, however, the world is completely unaware of the nectar of Krishna Katha. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore a boon to philosophers, religionists and people in general. There is certainly a charming attraction in Krishna and Krishna Katha. Therefore, the absolute truth is called Krishna, the most attractive. This is very, very beautiful, beautiful paragraph, very soothing, giving solace to our heart. Here we will discuss about what is material thirst and hunger and what is spiritual thirst and hunger. Material thirst and hunger, as we all know, is from the beginning, middle and end. In all three phases, it's suffering. Material thirst means hankering for sense gratification. While we prepare for acquiring sense gratification, or just plan, like somebody plans for a job, is preparing. That's manah shasthani indriyani karshati sthani karshati. That the soul while planning for sense gratification in this material world, is karshati, is struggling with material nature, competing with others, competing oneself with oneself. Shri Gaur Nitai Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Lata Vishakha Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Krishna Balram Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Prabhupada Maharaj ki jai. So, in the beginning, in the middle and in the end, all three phases, material thirst and hunger, give us only suffering. That's the nature. We won't discuss much into this. I wanted to discuss from one song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'll just give the beginning of that song. It's in the Veda base. You can in your free time read it. But I thought we'll discuss spiritual thing. So that song goes, O re man bhalo nahi lage samsar. Very beautiful song. He expresses what is the nature of the material world. Very beautiful. It's really heart touching. Do read it. But we'll discuss about spiritual thirst and hunger. In essence, spiritual thirst and hunger, from the beginning, it's nectar. Even when we start as a neophyte, it's nectar. Though it's a little difficult. I remember when I first time came into ISKCON, it was in ISKCON Pune, and we were called from our college for a camp in the temple. And it was a small temple. A small room was given to 20 devotees, 20 new persons. And we were chanting probably one or two rounds, but no habit of getting up early in the morning. And they asked us to sleep in the night, switched off the light, but we were not able to fall asleep. It was 10 o'clock. We came from college and in the afternoon we had taken rest, so we had a habit of sleeping by 12 o'clock. So we were not able to feel sleepy. They said, Prabhuji, please sleep, otherwise morning it will be difficult. And we said, it's easy, we'll make it. And morning came and they woke us up at 3:30. It was horrible. It was horrible. I remember I was very angry. But then what to do? I was stuck for 2 days at least with them. And then I was taken into the temple hall and made to dance in Kirtan, the Mangalarti. Though dancing was good, I remember. But by 7 o'clock, we were dead tired. And then there was another program. And that was a short lecture of 30 minutes. But come on, I was not able to open my eyes. And then they said, okay, now you have taken prasadam at 9 o'clock. We'll wake you up. You take rest. We'll wake you up by 10:30. Until that time, the Prabhupada, the video is there. Your well-wisher, you see that. We couldn't see that. We slept and we were not able to get up. I got up, I think, at 12 o'clock. Somehow or the other, came for the class, next session. It was very difficult and horrible. But after 2 days, when we went back to the base, believe me, that was nectar. And I wanted to relish it again and again. And still, I want to relish that. Still, that is, hankering is there. Though it's not possible now, that feeling is not there. It's too much, too much familiarity with devotees and now senior devotee and all that. It's, that nectar is gone. That taste is gone. Of course, there is another taste now, the real deep Krishna Katha taste. So from the beginning, in between, like Sudh Goswami says there, in the beginning of Bhagavatam, first canto, Vayam tu na vitrupyama uttam shloka vikrame yashunvatam rasgyanam swadu swadu pade pade. He says, Sudh Goswami was told by the sages that, Sudh Goswami, just go on. The nectar which is outpouring from your mouth is making us blissful at every step. Though we are also fasting, they were also fasting, they were on a big yajna for 1000 years, but it's nectar. And later on, Bhagavatam describes of what is the benefit of hearing Krishna Katha. When we hear Krishna Katha, what happens? Pravishta karna randhrena swanam bhav saroruham. I think this is in the second canto. My mobile doesn't open very fast. In the second canto, Krishna Katha, when it enters through our ears, what nectar it produces in our heart. It says, Pravishta karna randhrena swanam bhav saroruham. Dhunoti shamlam Krishna salilasse athasharat. Says, as soon as Krishna Katha enters from our ears into our heart, it cleanses, dhunoti shamlam Krishna, it cleanses the heart of all dust of lust, hankering, lamentation, everything. Just like, the example is very beautiful, which Prabhupada elaborates in the purport. The example, the given example is actually probably not in our experience, at least not in my experience, who was born in Bombay and then came to Vrindavan, which is again almost metropolitan city. But we have to really be with nature to understand that. Salilasya atasharat. Just like autumnal rains, after the rain, the rainy season, the lakes become dirty. And as soon as the autumnal rain comes, little rains, I don't have any experience of that, all the water that was dirty, muddy, becomes cleansed. And Prabhupada says there, in purport, that this is the effect of a pure devotee. By our chemistry, or by putting our chemicals to purify water, we can only purify a little pond of water, some little pond only. But the whole world's water gets purified only when the autumnal rain come by the mercy of Krishna. Similarly, a neophyte devotee may speak Krishna Katha. It may purify people somewhat. But when a pure devotee, a stalwart acharya, when they speak Krishna Katha, it purifies the whole world. And Prabhupada is not saying about anybody but himself, without mentioning himself. And we can understand how Prabhupada made a clear-cut revolution throughout the whole world. Unexpected revolution. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he said, he gave the prophecy that the Americans, the Russians, the blacks and the whites and everyone will come to Mayapur and chant in the kirtan of Gaurang Mahaprabhu, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was preaching this message, the God brothers of Prabhupada, as Prabhupada says in his conversations and lectures, some lectures also, and conversations with his intimate disciples, that my God brothers thought this is atikroshti, means it's an exaggeration. Come on, this cannot happen. How can it go to the West? Western people, we are subjugated by the British, we are just getting freedom. That time India had not got freedom also. How can the Britishers hear us? Come on, we have experienced that. And Prabhupada did it. Miracle. Actually, it's a miracle if we really see it. Now it seems it's a way of life. Come on, what's the miracle? Every Kartik, so many Russians come, so many Americans come. What's the big deal? At least to me it feels, but it's, we see it minutely, is a miracle. So a great devotee can do that. Salilam, salilasya atasharat. And then the next shloka is much more beautiful than that. It says, dhautatma, Krishna, padmulam namunchati, mukta sarva parikleshah, pantha swasharanam yatha. It says, when we hear Krishna Katha, and try to see it, it has happened with us. When we hear Krishna Katha, the effect is like a person on pilgrimage. After going long and traveling for a long distance, when he comes back to his home and goes to his mother and takes rest in the lap of his mother, and when the mother feeds him by his own mouth, I'm of course adding a little bit on the purport of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says when he comes home, I'm adding what happens at home. At home, we get our mother. Mother puts our head on her lap and then she feeds us. Mukta sarva pariklesha, the travelers, all the miseries, all the fatigue goes away. Similarly, when we hear Krishna Katha, it's like coming back to our father or mother, Radharani, and putting our head in their lap. And then Radharani herself feeds us. Tomorrow is Raghunath Das's disappearance day, and there we can see the experience. Radharani, in one of the past times, Radharani herself fed him. And he got, he spoiled his stomach. And this Raghunath Das Goswami used to take only 3 drops of chas, buttermilk, after every one day. That too when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him to take something. And this Raghunath Das Goswami, when he had stomach problem, he went to the Ayurveda, Vaidya, and the Vaidya said, "You have overeaten." And everyone was surprised, come on, how can he overeat? He never eats anything. Then he confidentially said that, "Oh, yesterday Radharani fed me sweet rice and I overate it." And it had a reflection. It was done on the spiritual platform, But if it reflected on the material platform also. And this is what Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam one place, that material well-being is automatically followed by spiritual well-being. We don't have to do anything materially, actually. If we do everything spiritually, if we absorb ourselves in Krishna Kirtan, actually loudly sing and dance, not just sit in the Kirtan and only play Mrudanga or play the instruments or just hear and how to get into that, how to understand that tune, what is the, which film's tune is this, which song's tune is this, whether Indian or American tune. Not just that, but if we actually absorb gradually, gradually, not all of a sudden. Sometimes neophyte devotees just comes into the movement 1 or 2 years and start doing kirtan, they become expert and they say, Prabhuji, I'm just absorbed in Krishna Katha. It's not so easy, it takes a long time. I'm just absorbed in Krishna Kirtan. My mind just gets absorbed, I'm just doing it for Krishna's pleasure. And here Parikshit Maharaj is saying, I'm not doing it for Krishna's pleasure. I was on the material platform. So we should not be speaking something on a very neophyte level, just expressing our glories to the world. Anyways, so this is the effect of Krishna Katha, that it makes us, it removes all the miseries of the material world. Brahmand Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beej. After wandering throughout the universes and different species of life, actually if we see, we are tired of sense gratification. At least those who have come to ISKCON, we are tired of sense gratification. We have done a lot and we don't want it. But the taste is still there, like Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna taste still remains. Though the practitioner, the sadhaka, gives up sense gratification, the taste remains. What to do with that? Taste will sometimes make us fall down also. But a sincere devotee will not give excuses for that fall down, will sincerely lament, will take punishment on himself, like Parikshit Maharaj here, in the 18th chapter and 19th chapter of the first canto, he took punishment. In the 19th chapter, he says, I have blasphemed Brahmanas. I am envious of Brahmanas. I am envious of great devotees of Krishna. Let all my wealth be burnt up. Let my body be destroyed. So he took that punishment, though he was not a candidate to be punished, but he took that. Similarly, a sincere devotee, though because of the taste for sense gratification is there, may fall down, but he will take the punishment and then go ahead. Won't leave devotional service, won't leave hearing Krishna Katha, because Krishna Katha has given us a lot of solace from our miseries and will continue to give us, and one day we will surely, Prabhupada says in one lecture, amazing thing. And Prabhupada's assurance, Krishna will fulfill. Though Narottam Das Thakur says, it takes at least 3 lifetimes to become a pure devotee or go back home, back to Godhead. And that is at least 3 lifetimes, means one sadhaka lifetime, becomes a pure devotee almost, then goes to Bhauma Vrindavan, and then goes back home, back to Godhead, getting training under Vrajvasi, and then goes back home, back to Godhead. That's 3 lifetimes. But Prabhupada says, not, you don't have to take 3 lifetimes. Whatever time you have come, if somebody has come like me at 24 years of age, or somebody has come at 50, sincerely practice throughout your remaining life, and you will go back home, back to Godhead. Even if Prabhupada jokes about it, even if it is an exaggeration, that person will take it seriously, because Prabhupada is too dear to him, and we can understand it from the Leela of Prabhupada. He's too dear. He's probably as dear as, of course, all the pure devotees are as dear, but Prahlad Maharaj. Because Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, he says, oh my Lord, when Narasimhadev said, take any benediction, the 10th chapter of 7th canto starts with this, somewhere in the starting only, Prahlad Maharaj says, oh my Lord, you sent me here in the material world to establish an example of what a pure devotee is. Similarly, Prabhupada said many times, and one time I have heard, he said when a devotee was massaging, that I never wanted to come, but Krishna forced me to come. But these people, and he was in tears, he said, these people people in the material world don't understand what I have come to give them. And then he stopped. Went into ecstasy and then he stopped. So this is a very important thing, and this brings us to the third paragraph of the shloka, which is the qualification of the speaker, and that we can understand this fellow Pran Govinda sitting here should not be allowed to give classes henceforward. But if it's given, then I'll take the opportunity, because that's also an instruction of Srila Prabhupada to sometimes try to glorify Krishna, though even Anantadev is not able to glorify Krishna fully. Even Krishna himself gets amazed in Vrindavan. Seeing his face, he's so beautiful, and he loses his consciousness. And then Yashoda Maiya. That's why Yashoda Maiya in Dwarka Devaki ji, and in Vrindavan, Yashoda Maiya has put cloth on all the surfaces which reflect, so that Krishna won't see his face. Because he'll see his face, he'll lose his consciousness. So he's so beautiful. But sometimes, if I'm given an opportunity, thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving this opportunity. But actually, if we read this third, I was feeling I should not sit. I was feeling I should actually honestly call Dharmatma Prabhu and say, Prabhuji, I cannot give the class. It's too much. This is too much. The word Amrut is also an important reference to the moon, and the word Ambuj means lotus. The pleasing moonshine, excuse me, I'll just drink water. The pleasing moonshine and pleasing fragrance of the lotus combined to bring pleasure to everyone hearing Krishna Katha from the mouth of Shukdeva Goswami. Now, this is very interesting, but we won't elaborate on that. As it is said, Materna Krishne, this is Prahlad Maharaj saying, Materna Krishne Partaha Svatova Mitho Vipadyet Griha Vratanam Adanta Gobhir Vishitam Tamisram Punaha Punascharvita Charvananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Here this translation, the last part, very. Then how? The question next comes, how then they are going to get? Because others' instructions also are not going to be effective. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, one, by their own efforts, two, or by a combination of both. Then, gone case. They're gone case. We are all gone case. I'm all gone case. One cannot make progress. So we'll discuss in the shloka, the second shloka after the shloka, Prahlad Maharaj gives the solution also. We'll discuss about that solution. And that's the qualification of the speaker. At the present moment, all of human society is engaged in the business of chewing the chewed. Punha punash charvita charvananam. People are prepared to undergo mrityu samsar vartmani, taking birth in one form, dying, accepting another form and dying again. To stop this repetition of birth and death, Krishna katha or Krishna consciousness is absolutely necessary. But unless one hears Krishna katha, now the qualification, but unless one hears Krishna katha from a realized soul like Shukdeva Goswami, one cannot relish the nectar of Krishna katha, which puts an end to all material fatigue and enjoy the blissful life of transcendental existence. In relation to the Krishna consciousness movement, we actually see that those who have tasted the nectar of Krishna katha lose all material desires. Whereas those who cannot understand Krishna or Krishna Katha regard the Krishna conscious life as brainwashing and mind control. While the devotees enjoy spiritual bliss, the non-devotees are surprised that the devotees have forgotten material hankerings. Now this, Prabhupada elaborates this last part in regard to his disciples who are hippies. In elsewhere, many places, Prabhupada says, these young boys and girls who have come to Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness, we should say to Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was extremely potent, to Krishna consciousness, just see, people are surprised, their fathers are surprised, the priests in the churches are surprised, and how come these people were hating God, they didn't go to church, and now they are mad after God? So this is the effect of a powerful devotee. A powerful devotee can transform a stone. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj says. He says, what's the solution? Matirna Krishna Parto Satova. Neither by one's own self one can become one who is a conditioned soul, who is grahavrat, engaged in sense gratification, addicted to sense gratification, wanting desperately to gratify his material senses. Neither by his own self he can get Krishna Rati, nor by others' instruction, nor by the combination of both. Then what's the solution? Prahlad Maharaj says, this is 30th shloka, 7530, 31, 32. 32nd shloka, Prahlad Maharaj says, And the purport is beautiful. He says, those who are infested with anartha, and it's not apagamaha, the anarthas are not destroyed, they cannot get ruchi in Krishna Katha. But what is the solution? Second part says, Mahiyasam Padarajobhishekam. The great stalwart devotees, when their Padarajobhishekam, if they smear themselves, if they bathe in the dust of the lotus feet, coming from that lotus feet, and of course I stop because it's not just lotus feet. That lotus feet, Prabhupada explains many places, taking dust from the lotus feet is not grabbing the lotus feet and I'll take the dust. Of course, that's okay. That's good. That's also good. In Jiva Goswami temple, there is dust of Jiva Goswami's lotus feet and we can take it. It's very potent. Chaitanya Charitamrita says it's very potent. But don't trouble them too much. Of course, Prabhupada is taking trouble. He in his videos we can see he was not even wearing socks. Now sannyasis wear socks so that people cannot touch them. Because if they touch them, all the karma comes. Prabhupada was sent to deliver the whole world and take their karma and pass it on to Krishna, who will burn them. And Prabhupada was going barefoot even in Vrindavan. And people were touching his lotus feet. He never objected, touch. No problem. He was just going like that. Amazing personality. Amazing benevolent personality. So if we take the dust, but the other ways of taking dust for us is to hear the instruction, teachings of Prabhupada, take them to heart, try to follow them, won't be able to follow, but try to follow them. Sincere to ourselves. One time I heard very nice thing, a devotee never competes with others, he competes with himself. Competition should be with our previous day, our previous hour. Am I becoming more Krishna conscious? No, I lapsed. I have to come back. I lapsed again. I have to come back. Then we have to dhikkar, we have to criticize ourselves. Not in public, but in private. Like, come on, you useless rascal. Can't you do this much also? Can't you chant Hare Krishna in the morning? Having to drag the whole 16 rounds for the whole day, in the night you're finishing, somehow or the other, just spaced out chanting. Have you promised that and to your Guru Maharaj and to the Parampara and to Agni Dev during initiation? Come on, get up, chant. Jiva Jago, Jiva Jago. Uttishta Jagrat Prapya Varan Nibodhata Shurasya Dhara Nishita Durutya. This was my favorite shloka when I was in base. Very interesting shloka, but I won't elaborate on that. So this is the qualification to become Krishna conscious by taking that dust of that lotus feet. And the second way, the instruction is one, lotus feet, dust of lotus feet, taking the instruction. But for new people, how to do it? That's why Prabhupada said, distribute my books as much as possible. Distribute my tapes. Write books from my tapes. In one conversation, Prabhupada says, you can print so many books from my tapes. The conversations, you can a little bit make it proper and then present it. That's one thing. Second thing is very interesting. When we should call people to the temple, during Mangal Aarti, during Guru Puja, they put the arg on everyone. That's the dust of the lotus feet. The pujari washes the lotus feet, offers water on the lotus feet, takes that, and then puts that dust of the lotus feet through that water on the head of everyone. So we should call people into festivals. Prabhupada wanted every day ISKCON devotees to organize festivals on every day. This is Prabhupada says to Tamal Krishna in one conversation. We can have a festival on every day. We want to distribute the mercy of Krishna wholesale. And Prabhupada said, I can tell you what festivals you will organize. Anyway, so this is very interesting. Now 2 minutes are there. So I'll end with the last part, the fourth part, that there is no loss in surrendering to Krishna or to following the path of Krishna Katha, full absorption in Krishna Katha. Sometimes people fear. We also have some fear, probably, at least I have, that if I give up everything and absorb myself into Krishna Katha. Sometimes Brahmacharya say, come on, I have taken the Brahmacharya life, I have given up everything. No, a lot of things are there. A lot of load is there, physical as well as mental and the heart. So, but new people definitely ask this question, come on Maharaj, I can't do that, 24-hour Krishna Katha. So the example is of Bali Maharaj, and I wanted to go through the shlokas, but I won't go. But I'll just tell you the interesting part of the benediction given by Vamandev to Bali Maharaj at the end. When he sent Bali Maharaj to Sutal, Vamandev told to Prahlad Maharaj, Brahmaji and Bali Maharaj, all three, what I'm giving to Bali for his surrendering. He says, and in this we can see, Bali Maharaj did not lose anything materially, rather he gained everything materially as well as spiritually. He says, first thing, O Bali Maharaj, I am giving you Sutal Lok, which is desired even by Swargi Bhi, by the heavenly denizens, by Indra also. Why? Because second, Vishwakarma, under my own instruction, has made it, which is just like the spiritual world in this sense. Krishna doesn't say that spiritual world, but he says there is no fatigue, there is no hunger, there is no thirst. The body doesn't deteriorate in Sutal Lok. I'm giving that kingdom to you. Third thing, he said, no, you don't fear, you don't have to take sannyas. Go there with your wife and children. Not just that, you take the Asura party also with you. Everyone. Then Bali Maharaj was thinking, come on, Asuras will be there again. Again, I'll be affected by them. So he says, at the end, he says, oh Bali Maharaj, don't fear. Because you will be seeing me constantly, their association won't disturb you. Fifth, he might say that, oh Vamandev, but Asuras won't hear me. It will be difficult to manage. Give me some good people. Asuras are nonsense. They don't do what is told to them. Then don't worry. I'll be standing there, right beside you. But on the other side, my chakra will be there. And if they don't hear, my chakra will cut them. They will have to hear. Then the question comes, okay, alright. Sometimes there may be puzzling problems. You will be only my dwarpal. You will be standing on the door, taking, because Krishna said, I'll be guarding your kingdom. He said, no, don't worry. I'll be standing beside you, always being as your advisor, friend, guru, and your messenger also. Your servant also. Everything. I'll be there. Don't worry about it. So, but and then he says, oh Brahma, note this. In the next to next millennium, Savarni millennium, this Bali Maharaj will be Indra, given the post of Indra, okay? Because he had that desire, he'll be Indra. And while he is on Sutal Lok, the demigods will never be able to even look at there. What to talk of attacking? Well, that's the worry. Now, ending with this, what happened one time when Ravan attacked? Ravan actually reached. Indra could not reach, but Ravan was so powerful, he reached on the doorstep of Sutal Lok. And Vamandev kicked him with his toe, and he went 80,000 miles away. Did not drop dead because Vamandev did not want it to kill him. So this is the benefit of Krishna consciousness. Following Krishna consciousness, we are neither the loser materially, of course spiritually we are not the loser. So we should give up all hesitation. Prabhupada sometimes says, while explaining Sarva Dharman Parityaja Shloka, give up hesitation and surrender to Krishna. Why don't you do it? Saying is easy, doing very difficult. But by your mercy, probably I'll come to that level. So now, I'll summarize a little bit. First part we discuss about Parikshit Maharaj's elevated position and how we should protect ourselves from offending Parikshit Maharaj being influenced by outsiders, especially Mayavadi interpreters of Bhagavatam. Second part we discuss that what is the ruchi in Krishna Katha, how glorious is Krishna Katha, how it removes all the miseries of life. Third part we discuss was that what is the qualification of the speaker, whom to hear from, Avaishnava Mukhodgirnam Putam Harikathamrutam, not to hear from those who are not Vaishnavas or practicing devotees, because that's like tasting milk touched by the lips of serpent, we'll die. And fourth part we discuss that surrendering to Krishna or absorbing ourselves in Krishna Katha doesn't make us loser. Even materially, we should not fear that we'll become Babaji, Goswami, we'll lose everything. One joke I remember, so I'll just tell this. One devotee, I won't name him, Ko Brahmachari, I asked him, Prabhuji, what are the bad things in becoming a pure devotee? And he said, interesting, he said, the bad thing is that you lose sense gratification. Especially, no girls like you. And then he said, but no, probably they will like. So, it's just a joke. I just inserted. It's not like that. We become very beautiful. Everyone starts liking. Prabhupada in one place says, if you meditate in Krishna, you'll get the beauty of Krishna. Of course, there will be envious people. People were envious even of Ajat Shatru Yudhishthir in his own home. So, with that, I'll end. I beg pardon if I was too proud or if I offended anybody by saying anything. And I think we won't take any question because already time up and lockdown period is going on. Prabhuji, has any comments or?
Hearing Bhagavatam, all your miseries go away. Listen to Bhagavatam. All miseries go away.
Thank you very much. Maharaj. We can take it personally also. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Amal Puranam ki.